This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
By LeBron driving.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
All right, Celtics show, 12 o'clock here on this Saturday. Christian Arcand alongside Chris Gasper. The Celtics scored a 127-117 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves without Karl Anthony Towns last night. Celtics, however, without Kemba Walker. And the bench certainly didn't set the world on fire, but the starters were pretty tremendous last night. I think he had four players scoring 25 or more, which is the first time the Celtics have done that since, I think, like the Tommy Heinsohn days, with Tatum, 28. Yep. Hayward had the best game, I think, with 29 on 12 of 17 shooting. He was fantastic last night. Daniel Tice had the night of his life, 25 and 16 against those stiffs they had over there in the middle in Minnesota when Towns isn't playing. And Jaylen Brown, another nice night for him, 25 points, 8 rebounds on 10 of 17 shooting. Celtics were able to withstand, well, at the end anyway, or certainly in the third quarter, a pretty tough pace there from the Timberwolves. Their guards were getting off there and doing what they could. But I think, and Beasley, by the way, that kid, he's
my guy.
Yeah.
I've said it for a while. The Malik's. I wanted a Beasley or a Monk. Those guys were underplayed, undervalued, and now Malik Beasley, you're seeing what he can do in Minnesota.
Yeah, Beasley kept him in that game, but the Celtics were able to come away with the win at the end when it counted. And I was looking forward to this because the Celtics schedule coming up is a real mother, Gasper. I mean, you've seen it. It's the Lakers tomorrow. After that, you have Utah, I want to say. Or no, excuse me, I got that out of order. You got Lakers tomorrow, Tuesday Portland, Wednesday Utah on a back-to-back, come back, and you got the Houston Rockets on Saturday, a week from today, leap year day, I suppose, back at TD Garden after this road trip's over. That's tough. I mean, that's a tough stretch right there for them. They're very close with the Raptors there for the 2 seed. Also, you know, guys gaining on them below in the 4th and 5th seed. So I look at this, and I look at this win last night. First of all, before we get to Kemba Walker, what were your overall takeaways from the way everybody performed? It seemed like the wings were all in sync together last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of my overall takeaway. I mean, the wings playing as well as they all played. And that's really, to me, the key to the Celtics and maximizing their potential is getting Tatum, Hayward, and Brown to function efficiently and even really lethally for opponents together. We haven't seen that as much as maybe we've wanted to, but we've seen it, I'd say, since January 20th, that big win over the Lakers on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We've seen a lot more of it. And that, to me, is the most enticing thing about this team. And I think it's a big reason Danny Ainge didn't really shake anything up at the trade deadline is the full potential of the team when the wings are all functioning is really, really high. In fact, since January 20th, if you look at it, the net rating of those three guys when they're on the court together is 26.2, which is really, really high. It is the fourth highest in the league during that time period of three-man trios that have played over 100 minutes together. So they're functioning at a very high level. That's my takeaway. My other takeaway would be the Celtics at times, I feel like, get lackadaisical on defense, particularly against teams that they don't necessarily respect. I thought this was an entirely different level of defense in a negative way than the defense they played against the Clippers in the last game before the All-Star break. I thought they kind of mailed it in a little bit. They knew that there was no Karl Anthony Towns. You let some of those guards get off and get comfortable like Beasley and D'Angelo Russell to a lesser degree. And I think that's a problem. And I think Brad was upset about that. I think Brad is not necessarily thrilled with some of the defense that the Celtics play from time to time. I think that their defensive effort and aptitude is directly, you know, proportional to their feeling about the opponent. If they feel like the opponent is worthy and really good, it's there. If they feel like it's not, they tend to just stick a stamp on it defensively.
Yeah, and, you know, the plus minus I don't think tells the whole story most of the time, but Tatum and Brown both had good games, 25 for Brown, 28 for Tatum. They were both even on plus minus there. So that tells you a little something. I think that the defense on this team, when they want to, is tremendous.
I
think that Gordon Hayward can defend a lot of different kinds. And with a guy like Kemba Walker out, who I think kind of hurts them defensively sometimes, certainly when he's going up against the bigger guard, him being out of that game, I thought, okay, let's see how well they play defense with Smart in the starting lineup. And I agree. I didn't think the defense was all that impressive last night, but I don't think that's something that, you know, the Celtics have been burned by that often. Like, I think they, when they get beat, usually they get beat on the glass. Usually they get beat on, you know, the team that's sharing the ball a little bit better and shooting better from three and things like that. But lately, it's tough to find a trio that's playing better than Tatum, Hayward, and Jaylen Brown. And I say this as someone that was a proponent for trading Hayward at the deadline. I thought that, you know, as good as Hayward's been, and it's not like, people always confuse this, Gasper, and it annoys the crap out of me. I've been arguing with people on Twitter for about 24 straight hours about this. I don't dislike Gordon Hayward. I like Gordon Hayward. I think Hayward's playing his ass off this year. I think he's been a real boon for them. The only reason why I consider him to be even slightly expendable is a couple of reasons. Number one, people say, well, his playmaking is very, very valuable. I agree that it is. But is he the best playmaker on the team? Or is he, you know, behind Kemba Walker and maybe even right on par with someone like Marcus Smart, who I think is really developed as
a
playmaker.
That pass last night, that behind-the-back pocket pass from Smart was sick.
He's been doing that all year.
He really has.
You know, his passing has gotten so good. And Hayward's is good, too. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying there's two other good playmakers on the team, and they're both guards. As far as the wings go, Gordon Hayward, are you going to slot him in over Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown?
No.
Ever? No, so he's the third best wing. He's maybe the second or third best playmaker. And I sort of look at that and think, well, what's this team lacking in? What does this team need more of? Do they need more playmakers and wings, or do they need someone in the middle who can do a little bit more than Daniel Tyson and his canter? And I think that, you know, obviously the name that keeps coming up is Andre Drummond, and I really don't want to do a whole show about trading Hayward for Andre Drummond, but, you know, Clint Capella's a guy I like. Steven Adams is a guy I liked. There was other players, you know, even someone like Hassan Whiteside, who I don't even love his game, but I feel like they need more somebody like him to balance out this roster than they need Gordon Hayward being the third best wing and maybe the third best playmaker.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll be honest with you, Arkan. For most of the season, I agreed with everything you just said. And in terms of moving Hayward for a big, even if it's a lesser player, but when I covered that Lakers game, and then they had a game a little bit later against the Warriors, and when you just see the potential of those three guys, if you can get it to click, I think it's worth rolling the dice on it. And I've come around on Hayward. And again, to your point, you're not anti-Hayward, but I think this is worth exploring, especially in this era of the NBA, this small ball era of the NBA. And you can make an argument that you match up better in this era with someone like Tice at center than you would with one of the guys that you name. Now, look, the counter to that is when you get into a playoff series, if you're facing Joel Embiid, or you're facing the Pacers with Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis, it's a little bit different. And those are the matchups now.
And or Giannis and Lopez. Yeah. I mean, there's
and
a lot of guys.
You have to get through Milwaukee, and do they have enough for that? I think part of that calculus from Ainge is Robert Williams. And he's getting close to coming back here. And maybe they feel like he can be that guy, so you can keep Hayward and still have Robert Williams. I was with you most of the season, but I just sort of feel like they have to ride this out, figure it out with Hayward. And if they get in the playoffs and they get busted in the first round or the second round, and you realize, okay, we really need a big and it doesn't work, then you can go in a different direction moving forward. But I think there's just so much potential here with this team. And I think in a lot of ways, Christian, this team, the way they're playing right now, they're sort of meeting some of the expectations we had for last year's team in terms of,
I agree with that,
having all these guys that can score and sort of being like a mini version of the Warriors, you know, with all these different guys that can facilitate and score. And that's really appealing, and I think they just want to play it out.
Yeah, I look at, and you mentioned the Sixers and Joel Embiid. Drummond's numbers against Embiid aren't great. The last time they played, it was pretty good. He gave him 28-9, and Embiid only had like 27 or something like that. So it's not like he kills him every single time. But the Celtics have played the 76ers four times this year. They're 1-3, and they've been out-rebounded 242 to 193 in those four games. So that's about 50 more rebounds in four games. So they're getting out-rebounded by at least like 10 or 10 or more in those games. And that's, I mean, I think that's an issue. Andre Drummond, you might not like his game. He can't shoot. He can't stretch the floor. Doesn't defend the pick and roll. All these things that people yell at me whenever I say this. But he's the leading rebounder in the NBA. I think a guy like him could help you against a team like the Sixers. Absolutely. And the Sixers, by the way, are two games in the loss column away from being your first round opponent. So, you know, like, I like Gordon Hayward. I like what they're doing. And I think that they're going to win a lot more regular season games. But if you talk about a playoff series and actually taking that next step, I'm not sure that this roster can do that.
Well, that's the question, right? Are they set up to take that next step to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals? And your point about the Sixers is legit. And I think they've had some issues this year when it comes to length and size. And I think Hayward has had some issues this year with length and size. Even the game they won against the 76ers, he was 1 of 11 from the field in that game. And he had a game against Milwaukee earlier this year where he was 1 of 10.
Yeah.
And he was terrible in that playoff series last year against the Bucks. It seems like their length really bothered him. So that's the gamble that they're taking, that they'll get the good Gordon Hayward against a team like Philadelphia or against Milwaukee, and that he will be able to play his best basketball against teams with more size and length when that hasn't necessarily been the case. Maybe if you could just put the Sixers in Minnesota Timberwolves uniforms, because whatever it is, it seems like Gordon Hayward lights up the Minnesota Timberwolves.
He does.
I think, what was it, 4 straight games going to last night?
He gave him 40 last year, I remember.
30 or
yeah.
more points. Yeah. I don't know, B-Rob, is that, and then he ended up with 29 last night?
Yeah, I think he's averaging like 32, 33 game against the Wolves and shooting like 65% from the field
yeah.
in his last 2 years.
He was he shot 70.6% last night, 12 of 17. He owns, Glenn Taylor doesn't own the Timberwolves. Gordon Hayward does.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. A lot of you lining up to talk some Celtics, so we'll get to you early here. Pat is in Boston with a thought on Gordon Hayward. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
What's up, Pat?
Yes, I wish Jim was there so I could blah him about Gordon Hayward.
You can blah me. I just said I wanted to trade him for Andre Drummond, so you can blah away, Pat.
Yeah, you can blah both of us.
He's been averaging 22 the past 6 games. Pretty good. Also, Gasper, that would have been pretty nice if we traded for Malik Beasley. Guy had a really good game last night.
Yeah, I would have given up a first-round pick. By the way, check out Malik Monk, another one of my like sleeper guys. He's really turned it on.
Did he move, or is he still in Charlotte?
He's still in Charlotte, but he's playing really, really well. So that was another one of my like sort of sleeper guys going into the year, where this guy's not playing a lot, but if you could trade him, you could help your bench. And I'll say this from last night, you know, one of the things that was concerning, the Celtics score 127 points. They only got 10 points from their bench. That's not going to cut it.
Right, and I don't think Malik Monk will get bought out anymore.
No, definitely
not. Really good.
No.
But also, do you think with Kemba being iffy, do you think there's a better chance of Ainge signing Thomas now, just for like insurance if Kemba does have something more serious?
I say no, Pat, because I think that at this point, Brad would probably be better off with someone like Brad Wanamaker. You know, and I don't think Brad Wanamaker's better than Isaiah Thomas or anything, but there's obviously things he can do that Isaiah can't. And Ainge came on Toucher and Rich and was basically like, "Nah, like, we're not doing that again."
Yeah,
and you know,
right.
I don't really see. I think that, you know, he'd help scoring off the bench. I don't think he'd hurt them there, but I don't think that Brad. I think they're just sort of over that.
It's kind of hard for him to come back. You know, he was the man, and then he's going to come back in sort of a lesser. I mean, it worked with Antoine Walker. He was able to do it, remember that, in like 2002. But
Where he had the 88 jersey?
Yeah, that's like a tough thing to do. B-Rob, I want to bring you in here. We saw Reggie Jackson got bought out. Obviously, he went to the Clippers. Is there anybody else that maybe is sort of on the guard radar that potentially could get bought out here that would help them? Or do you think they'll just give Tremont Waters a shot here if Kemba's out for a while?
From a guard perspective, it's pretty slim pickings. Like, the only you look at the Knicks, like, Wayne Ellington, he's more of a shooter than a ball handler. So that's really Markieff Morris obviously was one of the few guys left. He went to the Lakers. I'm kind of surprised. Like,
did DeMarcus Cousins play guard?
Yeah, right. You could take a flyer on him for the postseason. But I was surprised Reggie Jackson went to the Clippers, because they're like, that bench is so loaded anyway. So it's like, is he really going to play much? Or he must just want a ring, you'd think, right?
Ring chasing. That's what it seems like to me. And it's funny that the Clippers are like the team to go do that on. You know, like, we're going to go to the Clippers and chase a ring. Like, where in history have you ever been able to say anything close to that before? 617-779-0985 is your phone number. We'll continue with your Celtics phone calls.
The excitement is building for another banner.
Wrap for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is your phone number. We got your Celtics calls on deck here in just a moment, but wanted to touch on the Kemba Walker injury. and get your take, Gasper, on, well, a narrative that's come up that I don't necessarily agree with, by the way. I'd probably push back against this yesterday. But the similarities definitely exist. I'm not going to pretend like they don't. Kemba Walker aggravating his knee in the All-Star game where he played a lot of minutes.
29 minutes.
29 minutes, the full 15 of the fourth quarter, I believe, right? I don't think he came off the floor.
Elam ending.
It was actually 32 minutes, guys.
Was it 32?
It was 32 because the box score only put it as 12 minutes for the fourth quarter.
But he played 15.
Quarter, they went back in real time. It was 15 minutes of game time, so it's actually 32.
It's funny you say that, Pierre, because I had seen 32, but then when you look it up, it only says 29.
Yeah, so I went back and did. I like went and looked at the box score to do the math, being like, okay, how did I get to this number? And he had played 17 minutes after three quarters. And
B-Rob had the abacus out.
Exactly. I was like, I had the X and the Y on the board.
Did you have to watch the whole fourth quarter?
No. I just, someone got the report from the NBA that it was 15 minutes of game time in the fourth quarter.
All right.
But that wasn't put in the NBA box score. It was only put in as 12.
Oh,
so it was like some sneaky math. I just like, this doesn't add up here. And so I just did the math from the end of the third quarter. So it was 32.
Thank you, B-Rob. 32 minutes. So he played 32 minutes.
Yes. And this coming off of a 46-minute performance against the Clippers in that double overtime game, which was tremendous. I mean, you know. And so a lot of people have been saying, wow, this is a lot like last year when Kyrie Irving skipped those games and then played in the All-Star game, to which I say, au contraire, mon frère. No, it's not. I don't think it's like that at all. The only difference, or the only thing that's similar, is them playing in the game when maybe they shouldn't have. Okay? That's a
pretty big similarity.
But the difference, though, is that Kyrie took games off. Okay.
Yeah.
Kyrie said, I'm not playing in these games. I want to rest for the All-Star game. Kemba played too much, right? Like Kemba played in too many games. He's like too much of a gamer. That's the opposite of Kyrie, I feel like. And yeah, they both probably should have said no to the All-Star game and actually playing in it. And Nick Nurse running Kemba into the ground there. People named Dan Greenberg are saying that he did that on purpose to ruin the Celtics season.
Didn't. Come on.
People are saying it, Gasper. What do you want from me?
No, Dan's really good and he's on it with hoops, man. He knows his hoops, but I mean, that's a homer point of view. I don't think Nick
I mean,
Nurse
he could have played Trae Young a few minutes in the fourth quarter.
You know? Everybody was trying to win. Like, that's what was going on. I don't think he was singling out, you know, Walker. It just, if anything, as a Celtics fan, I'm not gonna say you should feel good about it, but the fact that among the elite, with when people wanted to win that game, that Kemba was on the floor, like, that speaks to what type of player he is.
I agree with that, and that's great, but that's a moral victory, and this team should be more concerned about the health of their players. And
well, then they should have told him he couldn't play.
I agree with that. I mean, I think ultimately that's what should have happened, but it seemed like he was okay. He played 46 minutes against the Clippers.
All the more reason to tell him he can't play. He plays 46 minutes the game before.
I didn't know he was going in with a minutes restriction, which Nurse just completely blew off, right?
Well, so apparently he took that back last
night. Yeah, he took that back.
Oh, he did? I didn't hear that.
So apparently there was no minutes restriction.
Apparently not.
I will say this, and I think B-Rob, I don't know if you were at this, but I was at shoot-around the day of the Clippers game, and Kemba talked about the minutes restriction and how he wanted it lifted from Brad. So Kemba, like, really chafes at the idea of a minutes restriction. He does not want a minutes restriction. But sometimes you have to do stuff for a guy's own good, right, to protect a guy from himself. And I feel like that's kind of the case here. Like, the Celtics, you know, should have sent him to the All-Star game with a minutes restriction, or basically said, look, the only way we're letting you play in this game is with a minutes restriction, and we're going to tell Nick Nurse that's it. Otherwise, we don't want you playing because we have bigger goals here. And I'm not blaming Kemba, but the reality is, like, he's been good all year long about talking about, I came here because I want to win. You know, if people are saying the playoffs, he's like, you're asking the wrong guy about playoffs.
Right.
He's been really cool when it comes to talking about wanting to be here to win and valuing winning in the playoffs. And then, you know, so I feel like if they had told him this, maybe he wouldn't have been happy. But if he's going to walk the walk on what he's been saying all year long, he would have had to say, okay, Celtics, like, I don't love this, but you're right. You know, minutes restriction for the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it, Chris. I mean, in terms of, and Christian, I think you nailed it too, in terms of like the,
hey, we both nailed it, Chris. That's cool.
But like, it's
nailed it.
It's a situation with Kemba where he is a Iron Man. He's like prided himself on playing these 82 game seasons, but he has never had to play, you know, 20 more games in the postseason before. And like you said, Chris, that's the big picture where, again, this team can win games without him in the regular season. They're not going to be able to win games without him in the postseason in terms of going deep. So you have to be smart about it now. You can't worry about playing, you know, the 30 minutes in the All-Star game or the 40 minutes against a game against the Clippers, a double overtime game, which in the big picture doesn't really matter that much. You need to think big picture in terms of what needs to happen for you to be healthy. And right, if you need to sit out a month right now to do it, you need to like be go along with that for the training staff as opposed to try to like you know, grind it out and say everything's okay.
That's true, but you know, I would rather have him. I mean, the All-Star break was an opportunity for rest. I would have rather had him sit out the All-Star game and maybe say the Minnesota game, and then be able to play in some of these games for the Celtics in the second half of the season when they're still jockeying for seeding. That's the thing.
Especially like, right now on this West Coast trip. Like, yeah. I mean, you have like a tough back-to-back. You got the Lakers tomorrow. I think that, you know, the thing that gets to me the most is that All-Star game was 5 days ago. He's had 4 days rest, right?
Right. That's scary. That's scary that you get 5 days off and you still needed.
And he needed his knee to be drained. And he needed an injection of something called Synvisc, I think is what it's called.
Synvisc? Yeah.
Which is pain relief. If you're getting injections for pain relief and getting drained, I mean, that seems like a bigger deal than people are making it out to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a, I believe it's like a, and maybe there's a doctor out there who can, I saw Doc Flynn tweet about this too, but I think it's like a synthetic sort of like lubricant, right? Isn't that part of what it does? Isn't it supposed to help like lubricate?
Yeah, it's like relieving the swelling and the joints, according to Dr. Flynn. So, yeah, like it's, this is not going to be a long-term fit. Like, they're going to have to manage this the rest of the season, it looks like, based on stuff like this.
I mean, that's a little disconcerting to me just because, as I was going to say, I understand resting guys and you need to have guys ready to roll in the playoffs, but the Celtics are in a situation where some of these regular season games have meaning for them. They're jockeying for a playoff seeding, and the second half of the schedule, the post-All-Star break part of the schedule, is really tough with a lot more games on the road, so they could use him in some of these games.
Definitely. And I'll say this, too. I'll even walk back my take. If Kemba Walker's out or banged up for the rest of the year, then I will absolutely renounce everything I just said about Andre Drummond and Gordon Hayward, because if you don't have Kemba Walker, you need Gordon Hayward. You really need Gordon Hayward, and more so than you would need the rebounding and sort of inside presence of someone like Andre Drummond. With Kemba Walker, I would say not as much, and I would still go through with that trade. But with Kemba on the shelf or not, you know, on minutes restrictions or whatever else, Gordon Hayward is untouchable. You're not trading him anywhere. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's go to some calls here. People waiting patiently. Let's start with Peter in Jamaica Plain. Go ahead, Peter.
Guys, how you doing? Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
The East is so stacked, 1 through 5. They're basically equal. I mean, the Celtics can play really well and get the 4th or 5th seed. And I don't think the seeding is important as health. I think the healthiest team in the East, okay, is going to win the East. And that's
what if they're all equally healthy?
I think the most important thing is health.
Okay,
sure.
But let me ask you this, Peter. And I hear what you're saying. But if you feel like the teams are all equal, then wouldn't home court potentially tip the balance in a 7-game series?
If they're all healthy. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I mean, if Giannis, you know, goes down with an injury. I mean, Kyrie just went out, and the Knicks were playing pretty good.
Yep.
You know, well, look what happened at Golden State last year. I really think the health is the most important thing, and the most important health factor would be Kemba. I'm a little worried about, you know, this knee thing. Is it going to stand up every, you know, 2 days in the playoffs? And I think the coaching staff, like Nick Nurse and some, a player doesn't take himself out of the game. The coach takes him out of the game. So it was either miscommunication from the Celtics staff or, you know, someone on the bench ought to –
no one on the bench is going to do that at the All-Star game, Peter. Thanks for the call. But, I mean, I think that Kemba's knee was fine, and he played, and then it hurt. I mean, I think he hurt it in the game. And that can happen whether he plays 40 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. And sometimes just something like that happens. But with Kemba Walker, he'd had knee problems going back a couple of weeks. He missed, like, 3 straight games, the Warriors game and a couple of around them with that same knee. And it seemed like he was back from it, and he was okay. But that re-aggravated it. So, yeah, I mean, that's a problem, obviously. And by the way, if the best team's the healthiest one, that's not good news for the Celtics. It's not. I mean, it's just the Raptors and the Bucks and these other teams, I feel like, just have guys who are a little more durable, a little healthier, and have been this year. The Celtics, between Hayward and Kemba and, you know, Jalen Brown's missed some time, and Enes Kanter's missed some time. Robert Williams hasn't played. Marcus Smart. I mean,
some time with that gross eye infection.
Yeah. That to me, just sort of speaks to a disadvantage for the Celtics overall. All right, let's go to Neil in California. I believe Neil is a doctor, B-Rob. You vetted Neil? Okay, Neil, Dr. Neil with a thought on Kemba's injection. What's up, Neil?
Yeah, good morning. How you doing? So you guys were asking about you. Good morning. You were asking about the Synvisc.
Yes.
So we use that for people with arthritis, and a lot of times it's people who probably need a knee replacement, but they're either too young or too sick to get it. So typically, there's something else going on in the knee. When you drain a knee, it's because there's some sort of damage in the joint. And draining it is a very temporary fix. It makes you feel better for a few days at most. Normally, we don't even do it. We treat the underlying problem.
So let me ask you this, Neil. You mentioned that it's, you know, normally something with arthritis involved. So is that like bone on bone? Could it be like a cartilage thing? Like there's not enough cartilage in there? Or
that's exactly right. So there's two kinds of cartilage in your knee. There's a coating on the end of the bone, like the white end of a chicken bone, the nice white shiny part. Mm. That's the articular cartilage. And then there's the meniscus, which is the pad. So if the articular cartilage is bad, the coating on the end of the knee, that's when you would use Synvisc.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know anything about his condition, and I don't want to pretend like I do.
But he needs a knee replacement is what you're saying.
Well, if they're using Synvisc, he's on his way.
Oh, no.
Brother. All right. Well,
good.
Thanks, Dr. Neil. Thanks
Thank
for
you
ruining
very much.
Everybody's day.
Thanks, doctor.
Great.
I'm glad we took that call because that was I remember reading about this before, and I'm obviously not a doctor. I'm the furthest thing from it. But I remember reading about Synvisc before, and that's what was triggering in my mind was like, this is something that you do for people that have like bone on bone, which is like not going away. Like that was one of the issues that like Dustin Pedroia had.
Right.
So it's like, this is not good. Not only for this year, but moving forward. I mean, if he's again, and Neil was saying he hasn't examined Walker, doesn't have access to his medical records, but the possibility that he could be on his way to a knee replacement someday makes you question not only how long is he going to last this season, but how long is he going to last as a Celtic? Like, is he going to make it to the end of this contract as Kemba Walker, like the all-star player that we know and love, or is he going to be diminished?
Man, I mean, not to get too dark here, but you know, you get 2 years of Kyrie Irving that end like this, and then to see Kemba Walker, obviously not with the same problems that Kyrie had, but he did. That first season was over because of an injury to his knee. You know, like this. That would be a real shame if that were to derail his Celtics career, because it seems like it's off to a pretty good start. It seems like he's getting along and playing well with these other guys. He's fit in to the culture here much more than Kyrie ever did, and the team's better. So yeah, that would be a real kick in the face, no question.
I got to tell you, Synvisc is a real red flag. I mean, it's a red flag that they did that. Again, obviously I'm not a doctor, but Dr. Neil sort of confirmed that Synvisc is not, this is not a great sign for Kemba.
All right. It looks like we have a differing, we got a second opinion on the line now.
Okay.
This is a second medical opinion.
This is fun.
I believe this is Sean in Brockton. Is that right? Dr. Sean? Is this a doctor, B-Rep? No? Okay.
Oh, wait, he's not a doctor.
Well, he's not a medical. All right. But he has another opinion.
I am not a doctor.
Go ahead, Sean. What's up?
I am not a doctor. All right. So I had Synvisc injections probably about 12 years ago for a sore knee.
Uh-huh.
You know, and how it was explained is that, you know, it was a series that you had to do, you know, three treatments over 3 weeks. You get like, you know, four or five shots of what it is. Basically, it is like a synthetic cartilage.
Okay, we got all that from the doctor. What happened after the injection?
So I'll tell you, my pain went away. It felt great. I never had any discussion of a knee replacement. Of arthritis, of a serious nature, anything like that. It worked fantastic. I never had to have it done again.
And then you averaged 30 points per game for the rest of the season, right, Sean? All right, well, hey, listen, that's great.
That's a good sign, though.
That makes me feel a little bit better.
Hey, I'm glad we took that call.
Dr. Neil in California had me, you know, lining up on the bridge there, but now I feel a lot better after Sean in Brockton.
Being facetious.
No, I'm very simple.
Oh, okay.
I'm swayed by the tides. You know, anybody can get on the phone and say anything. I have no way to verify either one of those two guys.
I don't even
know if that guy was a doctor.
I thought you were channeling Jones there, you know, basically being, because you mentioned, oh, then you average 30 points a game. Like, I thought you were, you know, all that time you spent in the night show with Jones, I thought you were channeling your inner vulture there.
No, but I've noticed that, like, I'm not proud of this. I've noticed that when I'm in the one chair, because he was doing the midday all week, someone will call, someone will say something, and I'll start to respond, and I'll be like, wait, this is what Jones would say. I have to catch myself. Like,
you guys are like an old married couple, like just rubbing off on each other.
I'm like fighting off the darkness, you know?
Jones has done a personality replacement on Arcan.
It's Ty. You're sitting there every night, you know? Things happen. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Back to your Celtics calls right after this.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Taylor Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5. It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think when it swelled up on me for the most part, because at first it just wasn't really swelling up, just bothering me, but when it swelled up, and that's when it got a little bit different. Still, I still don't think it's anything huge. I definitely think that I'll be fine and ready to go for the long run. So.
That's Kemba Walker. He didn't play last night, but the Celtics still coming away with an important win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I say it's important because they got a real rough schedule coming up. That was sort of an easy step into it. After that, you got the Lakers tomorrow, the Portland Trailblazers on Tuesday, back-to-back with Portland and Utah on Wednesday, the Jazz playing well. And then you come back on Saturday the 29th, a week from today, and they have the Houston Rockets, who is just impossible to play against. I hate that team. I hate watching them. I hate games against them. I hate watching a team I like try and play against it. Just it's rough. And they're on, like, TNT so much, Gasper. Like, we're here every night of the week. And so when I go home or I'm on my way back, I'll stop off at an establishment near my house. And there's always either a Warriors game or a Rockets game on TV. And the Warriors are just so bad. It's like it's brutal watching them. And the Rockets are not bad, but they're just their style of basketball is so tedious and just so ugh. It's like you remember like LeBron from like 2010 to like 2015, where every like in the playoffs, like every single time he touched the ball, he just drive in, flail around, and go to the free throw line. That's all four quarters of every single game of the James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, the James Harden experience.
Oh, it's brutal.
It can be a little tough to watch the way that they play. It's interesting though. It's an interesting experiment, and they're sort of all in on it. So we'll see. You know, they got to space the floor, take advantage of what they have with Russell Westbrook there.
Yeah, I was concerned about these first couple of games coming out of the break because I felt like the Celtics had the toughest cluster of games here, at least in close out the month of February, and I just gave you those. A team like the Miami Heat, for example, who's nipping at their heels there in the standings, had Atlanta, Cleveland, Minnesota, Dallas, Brooklyn. All right, that's how they close out the month of February, and Dallas is pretty good. But I assume that, you know, getting Andre Iguodala at the trade deadline and, you know, the Hawks and the Cavs and these crap teams, the T-Wolves, that they would, you know, they'd smack him around. Did you see what Trey Young did to them?
I did. That was unbelievable.
God.
Do you see what he did to Iguodala?
Yes, he totally made me look like a moron.
How badly he crossed him up?
He crossed him out of his jock strap. That was brutal.
So that's an interesting one because everybody was like declaring the Heat kind of like one of the big winners of the trade deadline, and the Celtics didn't really do anything. But Celtics now have a 4-game lead over the Heat.
Yeah.
The Celtics are the 3 seed. So I think for Boston, I mean, I'm not saying it's all done with Miami. You have some games coming up with Miami here in the second half of the season that are going to be tough and that could obviously influence what ends up happening with seeding. But in a lot of ways, I feel like really the challenge is catching Toronto, not staving off Miami. Now, those games I mentioned against Miami are both in April. One is April 1st here at TD Garden. The other one is April 11th in Miami. So maybe they can claw their way back. But honestly, as a Celtics, if I were a Celtics fan and as a Celtics fan, I would be looking up in the standings, not back. I wouldn't be looking behind me. I'd be looking at trying to catch Toronto.
Yeah, and that should be what this season's all about. I mean, you're not catching Milwaukee, so you might as well put that out of your mind, I think. If you can make up those 8 games and Milwaukee slows down, again, I think it would take an act of God. But the Toronto Raptors, you want to be the 2 seed. You don't want any part of the 76ers. You don't want any part of the Pacers or the Heat or the.
That's a tough first round matchup.
The Nets without Kyrie are under 500. They're about that with him too. And the Magic stink. And those are the 7 and 8 seeds right there. So I mean, if there's a little jostling between the two of them, you want either one of those teams. You want the biggest cream puff you can get in that first round, and then you go and deal with the Sixers or the Bucks or whoever it is after that. I think that should be, you know, obviously. Obviously, I mean, it's not like a hot take or anything, but you got to get that 2 seed.
So let me ask you this. It's interesting. with, because we haven't really talked about this, but Kyrie having the shoulder surgery, season over for the Nets at this point. He's not going to play again this year. They got nothing out of Kevin Durant this year and didn't really get much out of Kyrie. I believe they were 8-12 with Kyrie. I think they're 17-17 or 17-18 without him. In hindsight, do you feel better about him leaving than you did before?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I think that the way it was handled and the way that they sort of, you know, tried to make all these concessions for him and then he ended up leaving anyway was a pretty... That was a pretty bad moment, I'd say, for the organization in general. And this is the Celtics. It's not like they have a ton of those, but that was a bad one. Watching him walk out the door, I feel like they smoothed that over with Kemba Walker pretty quickly. And that kind of put it all out of our minds. Kyrie and what he's doing there in Brooklyn is the same thing he was doing here. He's just not playing as much, so it looks worse, you know? if he's out there every night and he's second team All-NBA and he's talking about his teammates and how they're not champions, then you're like, well, all right, at least he's a champion. He played really well. He's doing that in Brooklyn. He's not even playing. You know, like that's just Kyrie. You can't defend that. You know, like that's I feel fine about him not being.
I love Kyrie. I still, in a lot of ways, wish he were on the team, even though I know he's a pain. But the reality is, I think the Celtics. I have to admit, to get the most out of the team, to get the most out of Tatum and Brown, it's almost like there was just this wrap on Tatum and Brown that has been lifted. And if you're gonna have a point guard who's not that durable, I'd rather have a guy in Kemba Walker who has been durable his whole career. Mm-hmm. But now I'm saying moving forward, he has this knee situation. Let's see what it is. We know Kyrie's not durable. So let's say at this point in their careers, the durability is a question mark for both. If you're going to have that guy, I'd rather have a guy who is supportive of Tatum and Brown maximizing their potential, because ultimately I think the Celtics as an organization will go as far as those two guys. So as much as I love Kyrie, as sad as I was to see him go, even though the times I'm still like, oh, I'd love to watch this guy on a nightly basis, even I can't ignore at this point that overall the Celtics are better off without him.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's go to Michael in New Hampshire. He has a thought on the Celtics. He's been waiting a while. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk a little bit on the Kemba Walker injury. Mm-hmm. I think that I don't think Celtics fans should be, you know, that worried about it. I think Kemba's just going through a little bit of a rough patch as far as like injuries and stuff like that. But I think he'll get back on the court sooner or later, and I think he'll be decent for the Celtics playoff run.
All right, let's hope so. I mean, it's a lot of wish casting there, but sure.
I mean,
that's what that was. Well, I hope he's okay. I mean, like, yeah, I hope he is too. But he just had an injection of something that some doctor just called in and said he gives it to people right before he gives them a knee replacement. So I don't know. It's tough to feel great about that.
Wishcast, wasn't that a Sega system?
Oh,
that
Dreamcast.
Was Dreamcast. Dreamcast. Yeah. Did you have that?
Oh yeah. Well, no, I didn't. But my friend did. Those controllers were really awkward. Really?
Really
awkward.
More awkward,
yeah,
than the original Xbox controllers?
They were worse than those, yeah. Okay. It was like a square, you know? The Xbox at least was sort of rounded on the bottom there.
That's true.
But these were like, it was like this big, ugly square, and the buttons, you had to hold it like this, and they can't see it. But, yeah, they did have some good basketball games, though. They had the, it wasn't 2K, but they had the series of basketball games on the Dreamcast that were really good.
Really?
Yeah, my friends and I
better
used to
than,
play
like,
them.
NBA Live and all
I thought
that.
2K was it.
Was it 2K? Maybe it was 2K.
I think it was 2K.
I used to love NBA Live.
Was there was an NFL 2K too, right?
Yeah.
You're right. It was 2K. And NBA Live was the one that fell by the wayside. That's right.
Okay.
NBA Live was cool for like the Genesis and the Super Nintendo or whatever. But then when Dreamcast came around, 2K, those games were better, I think. I hope we don't have an agreement with EA Sports. But I did always think that. Those games were better. But yeah, Dreamcast overall.
So this guy was dreamcasting, wishcasting.
He was dreamcasting, yeah. That's what he was doing.
Yeah, he definitely was. I mean, I would be a little concerned. I would say this just quickly on that. With Kemba and the knee, we've been down this road before where it's like, oh, Isaiah just has a little hip injury.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like when you have little guys and they have, you know, leg injuries or any sort of injury that affects their mobility, agility, or explosiveness.
Yeah.
There is no guarantee that you're going to get the same guy long term. Like that type of injury has more of an effect on a smaller player than a bigger player, because their margin for error to create shots and get to the rim is so much smaller. So if Kemba has a knee injury that is going to be a long-term thing, that's concerning for me. I am not dreamcasting or wishcasting.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll come back and finish off your Celtics phone calls right after this.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
James Johnson waiting for him at the three-point line. Ball moved to Hayward. He's got room to attack the paint. Kicks out. Tice catches, steps into the paint, and throws it down with two hands.
Dang, Tice has been a man among little bitty boys.
Career high 23 points, career high 15 rebounds, and he's done it in 26 minutes. Celtics by 10, closing in on the finish here.
What about Daniel Tice last night? Forget who? Andre Drummond who? We got Daniel Drummond in the middle there. Handing 25 points and 16 rebounds to the Timberwolves without Karl Anthony Towns. Instead, they had someone named Naz Reid, Nasty Naz Reid there in the middle. And who was the other big they had?
James Johnson.
Or James Johnson, right? And Hernan Gomez played a lot, too, but he's not really a big. He's more of like an outside guy. But, yeah, that's what the Celtics on the inside were dealing with. And Daniel Tice made a mockery of the Minnesota bigs there with 25 points and 16 rebounds, both career highs, as the Celtics had four players with 25 or more points. And can someone correct me on this stat? I know I butchered it earlier. That's the first time that's happened since
1960. Yeah, it was
the Celtics were pretty good in the 60s, if you recall.
It was Tommy Heinsohn, Bob Cousy, Bill Russell, and who was the last person? Bill Sharman.
Bill Sharman.
I believe the Celtics won the title that year.
They won the title every year in the
60s. That's
true. The 50s and 60s, they won every single year.
Except for like 1 year. I think it was like 67.
Yeah Bob Pettit and the Hawks beat them. Yeah.
Right.
That in 67, I think they lost to the Sixers. The Sixers ended up winning it.
Is that right? Okay. So, well... every once in a while. It must have been weird to be a Celtics fan back then. Like, to be a Celtics fan in the 60s. Like, you think being a Patriots fan now is like, oh, well, 20 years, we've won six titles. They would have won, like, 17 in 20 years last.
Well, they won eight in a row in 11 of
13. They were ridiculous. They were unstoppable.
But the thing is, though, I mean, it's funny because I've gone back and read some of this stuff. Like, the NBA wasn't as big then. And if you look at a lot of those years, they were being outdrawn by the Bruins.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't the same. Like, the NBA just wasn't as big a sport. And the Boston area just wasn't as big into basketball. Go back and look at some of the attendance figures from those years, and the Bruins were outdrawing terrible Bruins teams that weren't making the playoffs, were outdrawing the Celtics at the Garden.
You know what that tells me? Boston sports fans have been spoiled for about 60 years. That's what that tells me. Coming up on like the bicentennial here of Boston spoiled sports fans is what that sounds like to me. Oh, the Celtics are in the finals again? Big deal. Let's go check out the Bruins this year. Who cares? Who cares about the Celtics winning 11 out of 13 championships in this run? We don't need to go see that. We're good. That sounds a little familiar, doesn't it, Gasper? 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's go to Josh in Rhode Island. He has a thought on Kemba Walker. Go ahead, Josh.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
So the last four major point guards we've had, Rondo, IT, Kyrie, and now Kemba, have all had kind of major injuries when playing for us, especially with Kemba having a fairly clean bill of health in Charlotte.
Yeah.
So knowing that Brad is a point guard heavy guy and plays a point guard centric style of basketball, do you think that all of these injuries correlate in any way? And do you think he's kind of running them into the ground?
Well, that's an interesting question, Josh, but I would say no, because especially with the last 2 years here, the last two guys, Kyrie was injury prone when he got here. He was a guy who had knee problems, you know, in Cleveland, and that was sort of part of the package with him. As far as Kemba's concerned, I think this is a little bit more of a freaky thing, but with Isaiah Thomas, you may have a point there. He may have run Isaiah into the ground a little bit, because that guy is 5 foot nothing, and he's, you know, playing the entire game, and you know, the offense runs through him on every single possession. He can't guard anybody, and it's just all about his quickness and speed and everything else, and, you know, they really asked a lot of Isaiah Thomas while he was here. He may have run him into the ground. But Rondo, Kyrie, and Kemba, I don't think so. Especially not Kemba, because I feel like the offense is a lot more... He's not running Kemba into the ground, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I don't think Brad is the common denominator there in all those injuries. Remember, like, when Rondo tore the ACL, it was like a freak thing. Like, no one knew. He, like, kept playing, and then they thought it was just a minor injury, and then it wasn't. So, yeah, I think when you sort of look at all those circumstances, I don't think you can blame Brad. Also, Brad wasn't the coach when Rondo tore his ACL.
No.
That was Doc.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so the first year that Brad had, the only year Brad had Rondo was...
He traded him, right?
Rondo was coming back. That was the, it's my birthday and I'll fly if I want to year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't want to fly from, what was it, LA to Sacramento?
Yeah.
He was having a birthday party.
That's right. And the other thing with Kemba's knee, too, like, he's tore the meniscus in this knee, like, 4 years ago.
Oh,
so he
did.
Has. This is, I mean... He's had issues with this knee before, and I would imagine that...
The same knee?
The same knee.
That's bad. Again, I'm not a doctor, but if he tore the meniscus there, that means there's not a lot of cartilage there, and he's getting to bone on bone.
Yeah, so that's, again, Brad Stevens has done a great job, I think, managing minutes over the years, you know, short of Isaiah during that year, of all these guys. But I think it's like Kyrie, you guys mentioned, Kyrie's always been injury prone. Kemba's got issues with this knee from the past. It's like, it's kind of just the reality of the situation, I feel like.
All right, let's take one more call here on the Celtics before the top of the hour. David is up in New Hampshire with a thought on Kemba's knee. David, are you a doctor up in New Hampshire?
No, I'm
Damn
not.
Damn it!
But how are you?
You could have lied and said you were. We wouldn't have vetted you.
Yeah, I know.
What's up?
Synergist basically is a synthetic synovial fluid, which is what lubricates, obviously, a knee joint.
Okay.
I know many individuals in athletics, not in the pros, but have lived on synovial fluid for tennis and everything for their knees for 4 to 5 years before knee surgery was ever needed.
Okay.
All right.
So it's not the end of the world is what you're saying. It could be, but it's not necessarily just because they're getting it.
How long's our contract with Kemba?
3 more years.
Yeah, we're fine.
All right. Very good. Thanks, David. I mean, for a non-doctor, he knew a lot about that stuff.
He did.
But again, he said he did.
But are those people taking the pounding of an 82-game season in the playoffs?
No, probably not.
Yeah,
on the JV tennis team up in New Hampshire there. I don't think it's quite the same as playing in the NBA. But, you know, it's worth at least pointing out that these injections aren't, you know, delivered and sort of given only in instances where a guy needs a knee replacement or a girl or whatever needs a knee replacement. Like, they can do it for, you know, just pain or whatever else. And the combination, though, of the draining plus the injection, like, that's... I don't like that. I don't like anything about this, to be honest with you, but I really don't like that it's both of those things. An injection, fine. Like, you remember when Jordan was getting his knee drained, like, every other week towards the end, and it was just like, all right, you know. He get his knee drained right before the game, and then you have to go, like, after the game and get it again, and it seems like that's something you get at the end of your career when you're trying to play out the string, not a guy like Kemba Walker who's here in the first year of his deal, on the first time he's ever been on a good team before, you know, still in his 20s. Like, that's... that's unfortunate. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Any closing thoughts here on the Celtics before we put an end to this?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, again, you know, this Kemba Walker thing obviously bears a lot of watching, and I think it puts sort of, I don't want to say more heat, but more emphasis on the fact that they haven't really been able to augment that bench. And you look at the way they played last night, and it was great to get the win, and you know, score 127 points, but when you only get 10 points from your bench... taking Kemba out of it, if they have to lean really heavily on the starting guys, on Smart, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, then that could have a trickle-down effect. That could affect those guys in the playoffs, and maybe they get worn down. So I think the spotlight here with this Kemba situation is a little bit on the Celtics bench and whether they have any internal options here to help, whether it's Tremont Waters or Romeo Langford or somebody else can step up and help that bench, because Danny didn't do anything to help it at the trade deadline.
No, he didn't, and you can keep yelling at me because I wanted that Hayward Drummond deal, but you know, if you're happy with Danny Ainge not doing anything at all at the trade deadline, that means you like this bench. And if you really like this bench, I mean, listen, I've had my battles with Celtics fans. Even the biggest green team honk on the planet can't look me in the eye or anybody else and say they like this bench. Maybe someday, okay, Grant Williams will be something, or you know, Langford will turn into more than he is right now, or maybe Carson Edwards will sort of, you know, come out of his shell. But right now, this bench sucks. It just does. It's a bad bench.
It would look a lot better with Malik Beasley on it.
It sure would, or you know, even Marvin Williams or somebody like that. Hell, even Isaiah Thomas at this point, I think, wouldn't hurt them. But I think that ship has sailed. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. Headlines coming up, and then the final hour here with Gasper and Murray, Arcand in for Murray.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.